The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook narration presents Operating Backbone, Governing Agentic AI at Enterprise Scale. Topic Introduction. At a glass-walled conference room in early 2026, the board packet is not finished, but the workflow is already moving. A system has just pulled the latest approved numbers from finance, compared them with a threshold, drafted a variance note, and routed the exception to a human reviewer before anyone at the table has asked the first question. On the surface, nothing dramatic has happened. There is no robot crossing the floor, no theatrical leap into artificial general intelligence, no cinematic declaration that the future has arrived. And yet, the room feels different. The machine has not merely answered a prompt, it has helped set the next step in motion.
That small shift captures the larger story unfolding across enterprises, hospitals, logistics networks, and executive teams around the world. By 2026, artificial intelligence is moving from producing text to producing operational effects. It is no longer only drafting a memo, summarizing a file, or suggesting a response. In more and more organizations, it is retrieving current records, comparing them with policy, routing exceptions, preparing approvals, and triggering the next action inside a live workflow. The technology still looks familiar enough to be called AI, but the managerial question has changed. Leaders are no longer only asking whether the output sounds plausible. They are asking what the system is allowed to do.
That question arrives with unusual force for the Yale Executive MBA cohort graduating in 2026, because this is the first leadership generation asked to govern AI, not as a novelty, but as an operating condition. An enterprise survey released on April 13, 2026, reports that 96% of organizations say they are using AI agents. 97% say they are exploring system-wide agentic strategies, and 94% are concerned about AI sprawl. Those numbers point in three directions at once. Adoption is broad, ambition is high, and governance pressure is rising just as fast. In other words, the problem is not whether these systems will show up. They already have. The problem is how to live with them at scale.
The phrase system-wide matters because it reaches far beyond giving employees a cleverer way to ask questions. It means thinking across finance, operations, engineering, compliance, risk, and customer treatment about where agents can coordinate work across applications and decision points. A chatbot is consultative. It responds. It explains, drafts, and summarizes. An agentic system is different. It is goal-directed. It plans steps, uses approved tools, checks what happened, and decides what to do next within defined limits. A large language model, or LLM, may provide the language and reasoning, but the agent layer turns that capability into work. That distinction is subtle in a demo and decisive in an enterprise.
The pressure becomes easier to see in operational fields, where timing and exceptions define the business. In early 2026, a travel industry survey found that 61% of travel businesses were experimenting with or scaling agentic AI. Travel is useful as a signal because it is full of moving parts, changing itineraries, shifting availability, customer exceptions, and constant reconciliation between systems. A human team can do all of that, but slowly and with strain. An agent can watch for changes, compare inputs, and prepare the next action. That sounds like efficiency. It is also the beginning of delegation. And delegation changes responsibility. A company can tolerate scattered experimentation for a while. It cannot tolerate system-wide action without deciding who owns permissions, performance, escalation, and auditability. A pilot can live with rough edges. A recurring workflow cannot. Once AI sits inside processes that affect budgets, schedules, compliance obligations, or board review, leadership responsibility changes with it. A broken assistant is inconvenient. A misdirected workflow is a control failure. That difference is what makes agentic AI so urgent and so interesting for senior leaders.
The urgency is not abstract. A 2026 FinTech Guide summarizing public records notes 14 enforcement actions by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau since 2024 involving AI and algorithmic decisioning. The number does not settle every policy debate, but it does send a clear signal. Automated decisions are already being treated as real operational conduct, not as some speculative future category. At the same time, a May 2025 industry analysis of software engineering showed both the promise and the strain of agentic work. Productivity gains appeared in reading code, writing code, and speeding routine development. So did questions about reliability, professional judgment, and downstream risk. Faster output is not the same as safer output, and executives are beginning to feel that tension in every sector. This is where the book's central question takes shape. When systems can act, how do organizations capture the upside without surrendering control? The answer is not to retreat from the technology and not to trust it blindly. The answer lies in the operating design around it. That includes permission boundaries, validation steps, escalation paths, rollback options, record keeping, and a named owner for the workflow itself. It also requires a new way of thinking about learning. If each team uses a different tool, different prompts, different connectors, and different review habits, the enterprise may look active while remaining fragmented. That is what leaders mean when they worry about sprawl. It is not only tool proliferation. It is inconsistent ownership, duplicate effort, incomplete logs, and the growing difficulty of proving what happened, when it happened, and under whose authority it happened. For the executive, the consequence is profound. Agentic AI is not merely a software story. It is an organizational design problem. Once the technology can plan, use tools, and initiate bounded action, the old line between technology-side experiment and business-side execution begins to blur. Finance, healthcare operations, logistics, and board governance all start to feel the same pressure in different forms. The real question becomes, who may authorize action? What evidence must exist before action begins? How exceptions are handled, and how the organization learns from every near miss and every successful intervention. That is why this subject deserves a different kind of attention than the early chatbot wave received. The issue is not whether a machine can sound fluent. The issue is whether the enterprise can remain legible to itself while it delegates more work to systems that move faster than traditional management rhythms. A mature organization will not ask AI to replace judgment. It will ask AI to compress repetition, surface risk earlier, and prepare decisions more cleanly, while humans retain authority over meaning, trade-offs, and consequences. But to do that well, leaders have to know where the line is between assistance and action. The chapters ahead examine that line from several angles, beginning with what makes a system truly agentic, then moving into the control patterns that keep delegation durable as capability grows. The invitation is simple, if demanding. Listen for the moment when AI stops being a clever assistant and starts becoming part of the operating backbone. Once that moment is recognized, almost every executive question becomes sharper. End of introduction. An enterprise survey from April 13, 2026 reports that 96% of enterprises say they are using AI agents, and 97% say they are exploring system-wide agentic strategies. It also finds that 94% are concerned about AI sprawl. Together,
those figures signal broad adoption, strong ambition, and mounting governance pressure at the same time.
By 2026, artificial intelligence, or AI, is moving from producing answers to producing operational effects. A system does not only draft a note or summarize a file, it retrieves current records, compares them with a rule, routes an exception, prepares an approval packet, and sets the next step in motion inside a live workflow. The technology is still recognizably AI, but the executive problem has changed. The central question for the Yale Executive MBA cohort graduating in 2026 is how to capture the upside when systems can act while controlling risk, accountability, and organizational learning.
Speed offers leverage, and uncontrolled speed compounds error. Management now operates in the space between those two outcomes, where decisions shift from model performance to operating design. The practical question changes accordingly. Enterprises are no longer asking only whether agents are useful. They are asking how to live with them at scale. The phrase system-wide matters because it means more than giving employees a better way to ask questions. It means thinking across finance, operations, engineering, compliance, and risk about where agents can coordinate work across applications and decision points. That is where the upside becomes large enough to matter at the executive level.
Once action moves beyond a single team, responsibility stops belonging to a single innovation group. A company can tolerate scattered experimentation for a while. It cannot tolerate system-wide action without deciding who owns permissions, performance, escalation, and auditability. That is the real shift from experimentation to production. A pilot can live with rough edges, but a recurring workflow cannot. Once AI sits inside processes that affect budgets, schedules, compliance obligations, or board review, leadership responsibility changes with it. The question is no longer only whether the model produces plausible text. It is whether the surrounding workflow has clear permission boundaries, validation steps, escalation paths, rollback options, and an accountable owner. A broken assistant is inconvenient. A misdirected workflow is a control failure. That distinction matters more as adoption rises, because the shift is not only a software story. By early 2026, a travel industry survey found that 61% of travel businesses were experimenting with or scaling agentic AI. Travel can be a useful signal because it is operationally complex and full of exceptions. In that setting, the appeal of a system that monitors change, reconciles inputs, and prepares the next action becomes easy to see. The travel figure widens the frame. What appears first in software is moving into sectors defined by coordination, timing, and constant change. A short timeline helps explain the speed of the shift. In May 2025, software engineering was already showing both gains and strains from agentic work. By early 2026, travel businesses were reporting active experimentation and scale-up. By April 13, 2026, the enterprise adoption figures had moved into the mid-90s. That compression matters because organizations typically redesign more slowly than technology spread. Leadership teams that still treat agentic AI as a distant planning item risk arriving late to the harder conversation: how to govern what the organization has delegated before it fully understands what it is delegating. Software engineering offers one of the clearest early pressure tests. A May 2025 industry analysis described reported productivity gains from AI agents in tasks such as reading code, writing code, and accelerating routine development work. The attraction is straightforward. Capable agents can reduce dead time around search, documentation, boilerplate, test drafting, and repetitive fixes. The same analysis also raised reliability questions, professional concerns, and downstream risk. Faster code creation can widen the surface area of defects if review discipline weakens.
It can blur responsibility if engineers begin trusting generated changes before those changes are properly tested. It can also change how junior talent learns, because apprenticeship has long depended on doing basic work directly before supervising it.
The lesson travels well beyond engineering. The first productivity gain is not the end of the management story. It is the beginning of a governance obligation. Financial services provides the control side of the picture. Public records, summarized in a 2026 FinTech Guide, show 14 enforcement actions by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or the CFPB, since 2024 involving AI and algorithmic decisioning. The count does not resolve every policy debate, but it does establish something important. Regulators are treating automated decision processes as present operational conduct, not as a speculative future tool. This is general information, not legal or financial advice. For a chief risk officer, a general counsel, or an audit committee, that changes the tone of the discussion. Once a workflow influences approvals, prioritization, or customer treatment, record keeping, explanation, review, and control become exposure issues. They are not matters of style or preference. Put side by side, the software evidence about speed and the enforcement signal about scrutiny point to the same executive truth from opposite directions. Productivity pressure pushes deployment forward. Governance pressure demands discipline at the same time. That tension is not temporary. It is the operating condition of the agentic era. Inside many companies, the pain behind the word sprawl is concrete. One team uses one agent platform. Another uses a different tool. A third pastes sensitive work into a general model without a shared record of what was approved. Permissions vary. Logging varies. Retention rules vary. Similar workflows get rebuilt by groups that do not know what the others are doing. Ownership blurs, because the business unit assumes the technology group is watching, while the technology group assumes the sponsor owns the outcome. Audits become difficult because the workflow crosses too many systems to reconstruct cleanly. That is what a 94% concern rate about AI sprawl means in practice. It means fragmented tool access, inconsistent controls, unclear ownership, duplicated workflows, and growing difficulty in proving what happened, when it happened, and under whose authority it happened. Sprawl can also damage organizational learning. When similar tasks are handled through different tools, different prompts, different connectors, and different review habits, the enterprise struggles to compare performance or transfer improvements. Each team may feel it is learning, but the company as a whole can end up accumulating isolated experiences. A failed workflow in one unit does not reliably improve the next workflow elsewhere. A guardrail discovered by compliance does not automatically reach finance or operations. In that sense, sprawl is not only a risk problem, it is a learning problem. As agentic systems spread, it becomes more valuable to build a shared operating logic rather than a patchwork of local improvisations. That is why AI strategy stops belonging only inside an innovation lab or a technology budget. Once agents interact with live processes, the topic belongs alongside security, compliance, finance, risk, and internal controls. Security matters because agentic systems need credentials, system access, and hard boundaries around what they can touch. Compliance matters because policies, retention rules, and approval thresholds have to be translated into operating conditions. Finance matters because recurring AI workflows create ongoing cost, vendor dependence, and return questions that resemble infrastructure management more than short-term experimentation. Risk matters because failures propagate through real processes. Internal controls matter because delegating work to a machine is still delegating. If a system can change the state of the business, the control environment has to recognize it.
From that premise follows a central thesis. When AI becomes embedded in recurring workflows, it behaves less like a campaign,
a feature or a side tool, and more like core infrastructure. Core infrastructure is expected to be available when the workflow needs it, not merely impressive in a demonstration. It is expected to connect to governed systems through approved integration, not improvised workarounds. Its reliability is expected to be measurable, not assumed because the interface sounds fluent. Its ownership is expected to be explicit, with named business and technical responsibility. And it is expected to be updated continuously, because data sources, policies, vendors, and workflows keep changing. The moment AI starts doing recurring work, executives are no longer purchasing novelty. They are accepting an operating dependency. That infrastructure view changes how the subject should be budgeted and reviewed. Infrastructure is not judged by whether it performs once under ideal conditions. It is judged by dependable availability, security posture, change control, and clarity of responsibility when something breaks. The same standard is becoming appropriate for agentic workflows. That is one reason the current moment feels different from the early chatbot wave. A chatbot responds to a prompt. It answers a request, drafts a paragraph, summarizes a file, or explains a concept. That consultative mode still matters because it helps teams think, draft, compare, and prepare. But its posture is advisory. Agentic AI adds a goal-directed layer. It pursues a goal by planning steps, using approved tools, executing parts of the workflow, checking intermediate results, and handling or escalating exceptions. The difference is not mystical autonomy. It is bounded operational movement. Planning is the crucial word in that distinction. A prompt response system waits to be told the next thing. An agentic system breaks a goal into a sequence. It determines that current data must be gathered before a comparison is made, that the comparison must be checked against a threshold, and that a threshold breach requires an exception path and possibly human review. Tool use matters for the same reason. Once a system can query an application, populate a form, or trigger a notification, it stops being merely expressive. It becomes operational. Execution completes the shift. Under defined conditions, it begins to help make the next authorized thing happen. That shift relocates accountability. In a consultative phase, managers ask whether the text is accurate, whether the summary is balanced, or whether the analysis is sensible enough to use. In the agentic phase, those questions remain important, but they move downstream. The first question becomes authorization. What is the system allowed to do at all? Under what preconditions? With access to which records? At what threshold? And with which human checkpoint before an irreversible step? After action occurs, a second layer follows. What were the consequences? Did the system stay inside policy? Did it trigger the right exception path? Was the review meaningful or merely ceremonial? Accuracy is still necessary, but it is no longer sufficient once the system can influence schedules, maintenance windows, compliance-sensitive operations, or executive reporting. The hidden difficulty is that very little of this is solved by the model alone. The harder work is organizational redesign. Decision cadence changes because agentic workflows can refresh information more frequently than quarterly cycles, weekly meetings, or manual reporting routines. Roles change because managers and analysts spend less time assembling inputs and more time defining constraints, reviewing exceptions, and judging edge cases. Approvals change because the organization has to decide which actions require human sign-off, which can proceed within a threshold, and which must always escalate. Escalation paths change because issues surface faster and in more granular form. Review rituals change because teams need disciplined ways to examine overrides, failures, drift, and recurring exceptions. An important consequence follows from that redesign. Human work does not disappear. It moves upward and outward. More effort shifts into setting goals, defining non-negotiable constraints, judging ambiguous cases, and improving the workflow after it has run. That is why organizational learning becomes central. Every exception, every override, every near miss, and every successful intervention can either become fuel for better delegation or vanish as isolated experience.
Firms that treat agentic AI as a tool deployment will miss that opportunity. Firms that treat it as an operating model question can turn recurring work into a disciplined cycle of improvement. A useful image for that cycle is an always-on control tower. The phrase is less about command and more about visibility and cadence. A mature agent-assisted workflow does not wake up only when someone remembers to ask a question. It refreshes information on a schedule or in response to an event, reconciles inputs from approved systems, compares the current state with thresholds, plans, or prior assumptions, and surfaces deviations for human review before deviations become surprises. In executive work, the goal is rarely a clever answer. The goal is a dependable, governed picture of what is changing and what requires intervention. Board preparation offers a concrete example. In many companies, the board cycle depends on teams scrambling to update slides, restate assumptions, and reconcile discrepancies across finance, operations, and risk. An agent-assisted process can compress that burden by refreshing approved assumptions from designated sources, rerunning scenarios under current conditions, comparing new outputs with prior guidance, and flagging deviations that matter for governance review. The chief financial officer, the chief risk officer, and the general counsel still own the judgment about what reaches the board and how it is framed. That responsibility does not disappear. It becomes sharper.
Beneath that example sits a reusable operating loop. Leaders define the goal and the constraints that matter most, because a workflow built to maximize speed alone behaves differently from one built to minimize regulatory error or operational disruption. Next comes workflow selection, since not every task deserves agentic treatment, and not every process benefits from the same degree of autonomy. Then come validation and exception handling, where the organization decides where the system must prove a precondition, where it must pause for review, and where it must escalate automatically. After that comes monitoring and governance through logs, service levels, error patterns, override rates, and periodic review. Finally comes learning through controlled improvement, where teams refine the process, thresholds, prompts, connectors, and rules based on observed performance rather than on hope.
Controlled improvement deserves emphasis because it is where many deployments either mature or decay. Improvement is not a vague promise that the technology somehow gets better on its own. It is a management discipline. One team changes a threshold and watches the effect on error rates. Another tightens access to a system and measures the effect on cycle time. A third redesigns an exception path because too many cases reach the wrong reviewer. Small changes, reviewed deliberately, turn scattered automation into a reliable operating capability.
The promise here is practical rather than mystical. The opportunity in agentic AI is the creation of human and agent workflows that recompute faster, surface risk earlier, and improve the quality of recurring operational judgment. The danger is more ordinary. Firms may keep treating these systems as convenient tools, even after they start functioning as part of the operating backbone. The leadership task then becomes precise. Decide what to authorize, decide what to measure continuously, decide which exceptions must always remain human, decide how accountability will be assigned when a machine prepares or initiates action, and redesign work so that every cycle leaves the organization wiser, not merely faster. The next question is what makes a system truly agentic and what it takes to govern it effectively.
An enterprise survey released April 13, 2026, reports that 96% of organizations are using AI agents,
97% are exploring system-wide agentic strategies, and 94% are concerned about AI sprawl. For the Yale Executive MBA cohort graduating in 2026, those figures frame the same problem from three angles at once. Adoption is broad, ambition is high, and governance pressure is rising.
In business terms, agentic AI is a goal-oriented planning and execution layer. A model may supply language and reasoning, but the agent layer turns that capability into work. It breaks a goal into steps, uses approved tools, checks what happened, and chooses the next permitted action. Under bounded control, it can act iteratively in pursuit of a defined business outcome. The change is not that the system sounds fluent. The change is that within organizational limits, it can move work from intention toward completion.
That is why the large language model, or LLM, is only part of the picture. Language generation can draft, summarize, and explain. Enterprise work usually asks for more. It needs memory of prior steps, access to current records, sequencing across tasks, tool use inside permissions, and evidence that required checks occurred before anything changes in a live process. Agentic systems are increasingly treated as the next layer in enterprise software, not as chat alone. The lineage is older than the current excitement. Organizations have long used bounded autonomous systems to score risk, optimize schedules, route work, enforce rules, and automate repetitive digital tasks. Agentic AI extends that lineage by combining language reasoning with orchestration. It can translate intent into a sequence of actions, keep track of where that sequence stands, and respond when real conditions no longer match the original plan. For an executive, that is the relevant threshold. The technology matters because it reaches beyond a standalone answer and begins to manage pieces of the workflow itself.
Planning is the first place to make this concrete. In an enterprise setting, planning means workflow decomposition. A business goal is rarely a single move. The system breaks the goal into tasks, orders those tasks, chooses what comes next, and continues inside stated constraints. If the goal is to prepare an updated board package, the workflow may refresh approved assumptions first, reconcile inputs second, rerun scenario outputs third, and send any material deviation into an approval path before executives see it. That is not decoration on top of intelligence. It is the logic that turns a broad objective into controllable work.
Tool use is just as concrete. Files, databases, messaging systems, ticketing systems, analytics tools, and approval paths become reachable only through explicit permissions and controls. In that sense, tool use is governed access, not digital wandering. The agent does not know something simply because it can speak about it. It knows what the organization allows it to retrieve from authorized systems, and it can act only through the tools granted for a defined purpose. Permission design is not a technical afterthought. It is part of the operating model.
Adaptation becomes clearer when it is seen inside a live process. In practice, it is exception handling. After feedback, a failed check, a missing input, or changed conditions, the system adjusts the next action. It may request missing information, retry a permitted step, switch to an alternate branch, or route the case to a human owner. The value is not improvisation for its own sake. The value is that the workflow stays coherent when the environment stops cooperating with the original plan.
Autonomy, then, does not mean freedom. It means bounded responsibility. The agent operates inside policy, permission, audit, and evaluation limits rather than acting on open-ended discretion. That distinction matters because the word autonomy can mislead executives into picturing a machine left to itself. In enterprise settings, the useful standard is the opposite. The more consequential the workflow, the more explicit the boundaries need to be.
If the organization cannot identify which rule, threshold, or permission governed the last action, the workflow is not ready for consequential use. The difference between consultative AI and agentic AI becomes sharp at this point. Drafting a memo is consultative. Summarizing a contract, outlining a strategy note, or preparing a meeting brief is consultative. Updating a ticket, reconciling a data input, or triggering the next step in a workflow is agentic, because the output changes the state of the business. Language may still be present, but language is no longer the main event. Action is. Once output becomes action, accountability changes with it. Leaders are responsible for orchestration, oversight, controls, and consequences. They are no longer judging only whether a sentence seems plausible. They are deciding who authorized the workflow, what the agent may do, which systems it may touch, what conditions must be true before it acts, who reviews exceptions, and how the organization responds if the result is wrong. Responsibility does not disappear into the software. It moves up the chain of management. Internal control shifts upstream for the same reason. Review, once centered on language quality or analytical plausibility after the model produced something. In an agentic workflow, review begins earlier. It verifies preconditions, approvals, permissions, and action readiness. Has the right data arrived? Has a threshold actually been crossed? Is the destination system approved? Is the proposed action reversible? Does the next step require human sign-off? These sound like procedural questions, but they determine whether a workflow is safe to run at scale. For executives, workflow selection becomes the first real operating choice. The issue is not only which model to buy, it is which workflow should run at all, which constraints apply, which tools are available, and which approvals are required before the system can move. A narrow and reversible workflow can justify more delegated action. A high-stakes workflow, with regulatory, financial, or reputational consequences, needs tighter boundaries and more visible checkpoints. This is work design before it is technology design. The same April 13th, 2026 enterprise survey that reports 96% agent use also finds 94% concern about sprawl. Slogans do not solve that problem. Standard workflow choices do. Once leadership decides which agentic workflows are approved, which tools are allowed, where permissions live, and where approvals must converge, scattered experimentation can start to give way to a governable operating pattern. That is where the challenge shifts from adoption to design. A practical way to hold that pattern together is an executive operating loop. Leaders define goals and boundaries, match capability to context, require validation before action, establish visibility into what happened, and improve the workflow through controlled learning. The order matters. A fast system attached to a vague objective is usually just a fast way to create confusion. The loop starts with definition. Leaders set the goal, the success criteria, the permissible boundaries, and the escalation triggers. A workflow meant to reduce cycle time is designed differently from one meant to minimize compliance error or preserve schedule stability. Success has to be stated in operating terms, not in satisfaction with the interface. Stop conditions matter just as much. Without explicit triggers for pause, review, or escalation, the organization does not have controlled delegation. It has hopeful delegation. The second move is fit. Leaders match agent capabilities and workflow logic to the business context. Some tasks are structured, repetitive, and easy to reverse. Others involve ambiguous inputs, conflicting records, or consequences that are difficult to unwind. The workflow has to match that terrain. A system that performs well in a narrow pilot may still be a poor fit for a process with longer chains, more external dependencies, or tighter policy constraints.
One common executive error is choosing a degree of agentic behavior that exceeds the strength of the control design behind it.
Validation comes third. Before any action occurs, the workflow has to show that required conditions are true. That can mean checking source freshness, verifying permissions, confirming an approval, testing a threshold, or ensuring that two records reconcile rather than conflict. Leaders also have to define how exceptions surface. The escalation route cannot be guessed at the moment something goes wrong. It has to exist before the agent is trusted with consequential steps. An agent should not fail silently, and it should not complete an unchecked action because a branch was left undefined.
Visibility follows. Leaders need an audit trail showing what the agent did, when it did it, which tools it used, what data it relied on, which version of the workflow or model governed the step, which approval path it entered, and why it moved forward or stopped. That record is not administrative decoration. When a recurring system touches money, schedules, compliance obligations, or customer treatment, the audit trail becomes the basis for accountability. Without it, reconstructing events after the fact becomes slow and contentious, at the exact moment facts need to be clear.
The fifth move is controlled improvement. After review, the organization updates the workflow in a disciplined way. It may adjust a threshold, narrow a permission, change an escalation route, or improve a validation rule, then watch the effect. The point is not to let the system rewrite itself in production. The point is to create a feedback loop through which performance improves because managers learn from observed behavior and approved changes. That is how an agentic workflow becomes sturdier over time, rather than merely more familiar.
The threshold in all of this is simple. AI becomes core infrastructure when workflows are dependable, governable, and safe enough to run repeatably. Fluency may win attention at the start, but repeatability earns a place inside operations. Once that standard is clear, the most useful model is rarely human or agent in isolation. It is human plus agent. Agents handle recomputation, scenario churn, reconciliation, and other routine steps that absorb time without adding much judgment. Humans retain judgment, context, and final authorization where consequences are material. The division of labor is not philosophical. It follows from the difference between repeating bounded logic quickly and accepting responsibility for a consequential decision.
Board preparation shows the pattern clearly. An agent-assisted control tower can refresh scenario assumptions from approved sources, stress test cash flow drivers, reconcile inputs across systems, and flag deviations that deserve attention. Here, a control tower means a standing workflow that keeps assumptions, inputs, and alerts current between formal reviews. It can also show where the numbers moved, which assumptions changed, and what still waits on approval. That does compress manual effort, but time savings are not the main point. The chief financial officer, the chief risk officer, and the general counsel get a cleaner basis for judgment before materials reach the board. The gain is also a different rhythm of review. When assumptions, reconciliations, and deviations are visible before the meeting, executive time shifts away from hunting for the latest number and toward judging what the change means.
The same architecture becomes more valuable in turnaround modeling when a business is trying to reverse distress or underperformance under tight time pressure. Assumptions update more often. Options need to be proposed with a stated rationale rather than a bare recommendation. Risks need to surface before executive review rather than during it. An agentic workflow can keep refreshing the model, compare current conditions with prior assumptions, and present decision options in a form leaders can interrogate instead of forcing them to rebuild the whole picture by hand each time conditions shift.
From that angle, scenario planning stops being a periodic event and becomes an always-on control tower. Updated models, reconciled information, and option generation recur on a schedule or in response to a trigger.
The organization no longer waits for the monthly close, the quarterly board packet, or the ad hoc crisis meeting before asking what changed. It maintains a standing capability to notice change earlier and prepare the next decision faster. That faster cadence is valuable, but it ties speed more tightly to governance. As scenario churn accelerates, model risk management has to strengthen. Permission boundaries have to become clearer. Audit trails have to become more complete. Verification gates have to become stronger, not weaker. A bad assumption updated once is a problem. The same bad assumption propagated through an always-on workflow becomes a multiplying error.
A 2026 FinTech Guide that summarizes 14 enforcement actions by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, since 2024, involving artificial intelligence and algorithmic decisioning, points in the same direction. The facts vary by case, but the management lesson is stable. Faster automation does not reduce responsibility. It raises the premium on evidence that the controls were real, current, and meaningful.
Speed also sharpens a quieter risk, automation bias. This is the tendency to trust a machine recommendation too readily because it arrives quickly and with apparent structure. The answer is not only training, it is workflow design. Review routines and evidence requirements have to slow down the right moments. A decision packet should show the source changes behind the recommendation, the checks that passed or failed, and the reason an exception was or was not escalated. Overtrust falls when the workflow requires evidence rather than confidence alone.
For finance and risk teams, the organizational implication is substantial. Work shifts away from periodic reporting and toward continuous decision intelligence. Teams spend less time rebuilding the same packet and more time curating data definitions, validating connectors, reviewing exception queues, testing assumptions, and improving escalation logic. The center of gravity moves from reporting history to governing live decision support. That is deeper than faster software. It changes what responsible financial and risk work looks like.
In healthcare operations, the pattern is similar. Scheduling, operational adjustments, and compliance monitoring all become more attractive when an agent can keep information current and route routine steps. The oversight burden rises at the same time because permissions, timing, and exception handling matter more than polished language. A scheduling change or compliance signal inside a live operating environment requires defined access, clear validation, and a human owner for consequential exceptions. A system that suggests a revised schedule is one thing. A system that changes the schedule, notifies participants, and closes the loop in downstream systems is something else.
Operations teams face an equally familiar trade. Logistics coordination, predictive maintenance, and vendor workflows benefit from faster recomputation, better reconciliation, and earlier warning about deviations. They also create new questions about who authorizes a change, what evidence justifies it, and how the system records the decision path. The available sector metrics are thinner here than in software engineering or enterprise surveys, but the operating pattern is clear enough. As agents move closer to the flow of work, oversight moves closer with them.
The early 2026 travel survey is revealing for exactly that reason. In a business defined by timing changes and exception management, agentic value appears where coordination is hardest. The lesson generalizes. Whenever work is dense with updates, handoffs, and retries, agents become more useful and oversight becomes more consequential. That is the governing principle for this middle act. When agent outputs become operational steps, governance has to be built into the workflow itself, not added later as an after-the-fact review. The next part turns to what that means when the organization must choose where to delegate, where to insist on human judgment, and how to keep learning without losing control.
An enterprise survey released April 13, 2026,
reports that 96% of organizations use AI agents. 97% are exploring system-wide agentic strategies, and 94% are concerned about AI sprawl. Once an agent can recommend, route, reconcile, and trigger the next step, the main question is no longer model selection or software procurement. The main question is organizational design. Someone owns the workflow. Someone sets the control boundaries. Someone reviews the evidence before action. Someone turns outcomes, errors, and exceptions into a safer process the next time the system runs.
That ownership matters, because sprawl can be a delegation problem as much as a tooling problem. When adoption spreads faster than operating design, permissions become inconsistent, logs become incomplete, escalation depends on informal relationships, and learning stays trapped inside separate teams. A mature agentic organization needs clearer operating roles than a pilot ever requires.
The first role is the AI workflow owner. This is not simply the person who likes the tool or sponsored an experiment. The workflow owner is accountable for the business process itself. The role defines the goal, explains why the workflow should exist, confirms that the design matches operating reality, and decides whether expected benefit justifies the risk. In finance, the owner may sit near planning, controllership, or risk. In healthcare operations, the owner may sit with scheduling, capacity management, or patient flow. In operations environments, the owner may sit with maintenance, procurement, logistics, or facilities. The common feature is business accountability, because the workflow owner knows what the process is supposed to achieve, which conditions matter, and where failure would show up first.
A second role is the agent governance lead. This role is accountable for the boundary conditions around the agent. It defines permission limits, audit visibility, evaluation expectations, and alignment with policy. The governance lead asks whether the system is allowed to use a given tool, whether it can reach a given data source, whether logs are detailed enough to reconstruct the decision path, and whether the workflow behaves within the organization's rules. Technology, security, compliance, legal, and risk work converge here. The governance lead does not own the business outcome in the same way the workflow owner does. Instead, it owns the integrity of the delegation environment.
A third role is the process auditor. The title may vary, but the function cannot disappear. Someone has to review whether the workflow behaved as intended and whether exceptions were handled correctly. That role may sit in internal audit, compliance, operational excellence, quality, or risk. What matters is enough independence from day-to-day enthusiasm to ask what actually happened. Did the workflow follow the approved sequence? Did it pause when required information was missing? Did a human reviewer approve what policy required? Did exceptions reach the right owner? Did the outcome match the evidence presented before action? These questions turn agentic work from a trust exercise into a controllable process.
The governance lead needs to be consulted before goals become operational, because policy limits and permission design shape what can safely be delegated. Senior executives or designated control owners need to be informed when a workflow touches material, financial, regulatory, or operational exposure.
Workflow selection requires a slightly different map. The workflow owner explains why a process fits agentic execution. The governance lead confirms that the proposed level of autonomy fits the control environment. Technology and security teams are consulted because tool access, integration design, identity management, and logging determine how the agent behaves in practice. Process auditors need visibility early enough to understand the control design before they are asked to review results.
Execution authorization is the real boundary. A system can prepare an action, but the organization still decides who may authorize that action under which conditions.
low-risk and reversible steps can be pre-authorized within defined thresholds. More consequential steps require human approval. Material financial actions, compliance-sensitive decisions, patient-affecting operational changes, and major service disruptions require explicit authorization from a designated human owner. Post-action review completes the responsibility map. The workflow owner remains accountable for the business outcome and for remediation when the process underperforms. The governance lead remains accountable for policy alignment and control updates. The process auditor checks whether the workflow followed its approved path, whether exceptions were handled correctly, and whether the evidence supports the action that was taken. Agentic systems do not become reliable through optimism. They become reliable through observed performance, disciplined correction, and controlled change. That is why escalation paths are operating requirements, not decoration. A workflow has to know what happens when information is missing, when validation fails, when a threshold is breached, or when two recommendations conflict. Missing information may require a return to the data owner. Failed validation may require a pause before any downstream system is touched. A threshold breach may require review by finance, compliance, a clinical operations leader, a maintenance supervisor, or another designated authority. Conflicting recommendations should not be blended into false certainty. They should be routed to the human role that owns the trade-off. Good escalation design prevents two failures at once. It prevents the agent from acting when the evidence is not ready, and it prevents the organization from improvising under pressure. A workflow that pauses cleanly is often safer than one that keeps moving in the name of efficiency. The aim is not to slow every decision. The aim is to slow the moments when an automated step could create a financial, operational, regulatory, or safety consequence that compounds before people notice. The governance architecture itself rests on three elements. Permission boundaries define what tools, records, systems, and actions the agent may use. Audit logs create traceability by recording what the agent did, when it did it, which source it relied on, which approval it received, and why it moved forward or stopped. Evaluation tests whether the workflow performs safely and usefully over time. Permissions limit reach. Logs make behavior visible. Evaluation tells leaders whether the workflow still deserves the authority it has been given. Model risk management sits across all three elements. Reliability has to be monitored because a workflow that performs well in one period can weaken as inputs, policies, vendors, user behavior, or operating conditions change. That shift is drift. Tool outcomes also matter. A model may reason acceptably and still retrieve stale data, trigger the wrong connector, populate the wrong field, or misread the status of a downstream system. Unexpected behavior deserves special attention because agentic workflows combine reasoning, planning, tool use, and branching logic. Small design gaps can create surprising execution paths. Verification gates are the control layer that makes this manageable. A gate is a defined pause point where the workflow proves that required conditions are true before action continues. Validation may check source freshness, reconciliation between systems, approval status, threshold values, identity permissions, or policy constraints. If validation fails, the workflow pauses. If uncertainty crosses a threshold set in advance, the workflow routes to review. If a required approval is missing, execution stops until that approval exists. A good gate translates evidence into a few clear outcomes, such as proceed, pause, review, or escalate. Leadership measurement should follow the same logic. Agentic workflows should not be judged only by whether they feel fast or impressive. Leaders need categories that show whether work improves without weakening control.
Decision cycle time shows whether the process shortens the interval between new information and an authorized decision. Service level adherence shows whether commitments are being met. Exception rate shows how often cases fall outside the expected path. Compliance findings show where policies, evidence, or approvals fail. Audit throughput shows whether the organization can review enough activity to learn from it and catch control weaknesses. The right benchmark depends on the purpose and risk of the process, because consequences differ across a hospital scheduling workflow, a treasury workflow, and a maintenance workflow.
Continuous improvement also has to be practical. Workflows should change only after outcomes are verified, governance review is complete, and change management is controlled. A better prompt, a new connector, a changed threshold, or a revised escalation branch may improve performance, but it can also create a new failure mode. The organization documents the proposed adjustment, states the reason, describes the expected effect, and requires a governance owner to approve the change. A process auditor can later compare intended improvement with actual behavior, turning learning into a managed rhythm rather than a series of local edits.
The value of this design is easy to see in corporate finance and risk. Agentic workflows can recompute forecasts, refresh assumptions, reconcile inputs, and prepare decision packets faster than a manual reporting cycle. That changes executive rhythm. Scenario planning no longer waits for a quarterly meeting or a full rebuild of the model, and risk teams can see deviations earlier. Finance teams can compare current results against prior assumptions more often, and executive committees can spend less time hunting for which number is current and more time deciding what the change means.
The control problem appears just as quickly. Faster recomputation can also propagate a bad assumption faster. If a cash flow forecast, credit exposure estimate, revenue assumption, supplier risk input, or capital plan is wrong, an always-on workflow can spread that error through dashboards, alerts, and recommendations before the next formal review. Since 2024, a federal consumer protection agency has recorded 14 enforcement actions involving AI or algorithmic decisioning. The cases differ, but the operational message remains consistent. Automated processes are treated as real conduct, and an organization cannot defend a harmful or non-compliant outcome simply by claiming the system produced it.
In practical terms, finance and risk teams need structured review and explicit authorization. Reconciliation has to tighten before an agent triggers operational consequences. Forecast drivers should be checked against approved sources. Material deviations should enter a review queue with evidence attached. Recommendations should show which assumptions changed, which validation gates passed, and which approval remains pending. When a workflow affects capital allocation, liquidity planning, customer treatment, risk appetite, or public guidance, executive authorization has to be visible in the record. In this setting, speed matters only when it arrives with proof.
Healthcare operations raise the stakes in a different way. Intelligent scheduling and real-time operational adjustment can improve coordination when demand, staffing, rooms, equipment, and supplies shift through the day. A workflow may identify conflicts, propose schedule changes, surface capacity constraints, or route unresolved cases to the right operations leader. The appeal is clear in environments where small delays and mismatches spread quickly across teams. The control requirement is also clear. Sensitive information needs strict data controls, role-bound access, auditable use, validation, and escalation.
Healthcare policy should begin with purpose. Access to sensitive patient, staffing, or operational information should exist only when it supports a clear operational need. A workflow planner does not automatically need the same data as a clinician. A scheduling coordinator does not automatically need the same record view as a compliance officer. Role-bound access means the system sees only what the workflow requires, not everything that is technically available.
auditable access means the organization can later determine which information was used, by which workflow, under which authorization, and for what operational purpose. Oversight in healthcare cannot allow machine output to substitute for professional judgment. Clinicians and operations leaders still review and authorize agent outputs in ways that support safety and regulatory expectations. An agent may surface a scheduling conflict, propose a redistribution of appointments, or flag a supply mismatch. Human leaders decide how to handle clinical priority, staffing reality, patient communication, and exceptions that do not fit a clean rule. Monitoring in healthcare should track adverse operational outcomes, not just apparent efficiency. Scheduling errors matter. Supply mismatches matter. Compliance deviations matter. Unresolved exceptions matter. A workflow that looks efficient while leaving difficult cases stranded does not improve operations. Governance teams need to review where the system pauses too often, where it fails to pause, where human review becomes repeatedly necessary, and where downstream teams experience confusion. These patterns show whether the design fits the institution's operating reality. Operations environments bring a third pattern. Logistics planning, vendor workflow coordination, and predictive maintenance depend on constant information movement. Parts availability, service windows, weather, facility status, procurement rules, maintenance records, labor constraints, and service level commitments can change quickly. Agentic coordination can reduce manual intervention by comparing those inputs, preparing the next permitted step, and alerting the right human owner before a disruption becomes costly. Again, authority design is the central leadership question. Operations leaders define what agents may coordinate across procurement systems, maintenance records, facility systems, service levels, and operational alerts. A workflow may gather maintenance history, check parts inventory, compare service commitments, and prepare a work order for review. It may notify a vendor that a case is pending. It should not renegotiate a contract, override a maintenance supervisor, or reprioritize a strategic account without human approval. Coordination and authority have to be explicit, because human responsibility remains strongest where operational reality is messy. Negotiations stay with people. Exception resolution stays with people. Strategic trade-offs stay with people when recommendations conflict with business judgment, safety constraints, customer commitments, or field knowledge. When the design is right, resilience gains become real. Agentic orchestration can reduce downtime risk by surfacing maintenance needs earlier, coordinating parts and schedules more consistently, and making follow-through less dependent on tribal knowledge. That phrase refers to informal know-how held by experienced employees, such as who to call, which system to check, which exception usually matters, and which workaround is safe. That knowledge is valuable, but it becomes fragile when it lives only in memory. Governed workflows can make maintenance coordination more repeatable without pretending to replace technicians, supervisors, and operations managers. Incident response ties these sectors together. Failed recommendations require auditable rollback, investigation, root cause review, and corrective workflow updates. Rollback means restoring a prior state or stopping a downstream effect when doing so is safe and appropriate. Investigation asks what happened. Root cause review asks why it happened. Corrective updates change the process so the same failure is less likely to recur. A failed agentic workflow should not disappear into a help desk ticket with no institutional memory. It should become evidence for better design. Change management is the human side of this discipline. Field teams and operating leaders need clear expectations for working with agent outputs, escalating exceptions, and preserving accountability. People need to know when an agent recommendation is advisory, when it is pre-authorized within limits, when human approval is required, and when they must stop the workflow. Without that clarity, employees either over-trust the system
or work around it, and both responses weaken the operating model. Good change management makes the boundary between assistance and authority visible in daily work.
Across corporate finance, healthcare operations, and operations environments, the same operating loop governs the work. Constraints define what the agent may try to accomplish. Validation determines whether action is ready. Monitoring shows how the workflow behaves over time. Learning turns observed outcomes into controlled improvement. A board workflow, a healthcare scheduling workflow, and an operations maintenance workflow differ in context, data, and consequence, but they share the same leadership problem. The organization wants more speed, but it cannot afford to lose evidence, authority, accountability, or review.
The practical tools are not exotic. Leaders need a workflow map that shows the current process, the proposed agentic steps, the systems touched, the decision points, the exception paths, and the irreversible actions. That map should also show where time is actually being lost. Some processes are slow because people assemble information by hand. Others are slow because authority is unclear. Agentic AI helps the first problem more easily than the second. If the organization has not clarified who can decide, automation mostly moves confusion faster.
Leaders also need a permissioned tool inventory that records which systems an agent may access, what it may do inside each system, which role approved that access, and how that access is logged. Verification gates then turn validation into action, and each gate states what must be true before the workflow proceeds. If required evidence is present and risk stays within the defined boundary, the action can continue. If evidence is missing, the workflow pauses. If validation produces conflicting signals, the workflow routes to review. If a threshold is breached, escalation begins. This turns uncertainty into an operating condition rather than a surprise, and it protects employees by making the expected response visible before pressure arrives.
Monitoring categories and leadership review rhythms make the system governable after launch. Exceptions matter because they reveal where reality does not match design. Compliance findings matter because they show where policies, approvals, or records fail. Workflow performance matters because speed without reliability is not a leadership win. The review rhythm should match the risk of the process. A high-consequence workflow needs tighter review than a low-risk internal convenience. Learning becomes a managed cadence when workflows update only after verified outcomes and governance review.
Clear accountability holds all of this together. Goal definition needs a named business owner. Workflow selection needs approval from the business and governance sides together. Action authorization needs explicit thresholds and named human authorities wherever consequences are material. Post-action audit review needs a function independent enough to test what actually happened. When those accountabilities are named, agentic AI stops looking like a mysterious capability and starts functioning as an operating system for delegated work.
For the Yale Executive MBA class of 2026, the mandate is not to become technologists in disguise. It is to design hybrid organizations that orchestrate human talent and bounded autonomous agents so that each does the work it is best suited to do. Agents recompute, reconcile, monitor, route, and prepare action at a speed human teams cannot match manually. Human leaders define purpose, set boundaries, judge ambiguity, authorize consequential action, and learn from outcomes. As agentic systems move deeper into workflows, executive leadership moves away from producing answers and toward authorizing actions with evidence, auditability, monitoring, and continuous evaluation, because speed becomes an advantage only when it is governed well enough to be trusted.
The next part turns to what makes a system truly agentic and the control patterns that keep that boundary durable as capability grows. This concludes the audiobook narration.
Thank you for listening.